A few years ago, we grew and sold a business that forever changed our lives. At first, we really struggled trying to figure out which tools to use to help run and organize our community. But that all changed once we discovered Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more. The best part, Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates all built in. You don't need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/MU. That's kajabi.com/MU. Go to kajabi.com/MU and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Focus 98% of your energy on generating more revenue and 2% of your energy on how you can keep expenses down.
Hey, hey, Millionaire University Nation. This is Brian Guerin back with you for another rousing episode of the Millionaire University Podcast. And today I am joined by the founder of Happy Home Helpers, a million-dollar plus home cleaning service business owned by John Margalit. Guys, I am so excited. And let me just tell you a quick story about how before we started recording this podcast, I was asking John, you know, what kind of things do we want to go over? What do we want to talk about here? What do you want to say? And he said, I'm here to talk about the fastest way for anyone to become a millionaire. And I was just instantly jazzed up because that's what we're here to do, right? We're here to live the life we want to live, run the business we want to run, and find that time and financial freedom that we all desire. And John has done it through doing something common, uncommonly well, cleaning homes, right? Taking out the trash, cleaning up, scrubbing the baseboards, scrubbing the walls, cleaning the showers and the toilets. Things that a lot of people don't really want to do. Things that I don't want to do. My wife yells at me all the time about it. But John has made a million-dollar, seven-figure business out of this common service. And man, what a story he's going to share with us today about how he got started and how you can do the exact same thing. So without further ado, let's dive in and talk with John Margalit of Happy Home Helpers and how you can learn one of the fastest ways to become a millionaire. Let's go. John, you have an incredible story. I want to kick it off with hearing about your story. Give our listeners some context about how you got into this business and how you made it.
It all started out when I graduated from college. A bunch of guys that were older than me in my fraternity I had kept in touch with, they were driving fancy cars, wearing suits, and it seemed like they were making a lot of money. So I wanted to know what they were doing. I was looking for a job, and they got me a job at this mortgage company they were working at. The reason why I start the story with that is because I learned sales there. And that's the key, I think, to everything. And if you can sell something to somebody that essentially is the most important financial decision in their life, or the highest ticket, their home, and you can get them to trust you with that, you can pretty much get them to trust you with anything. So I learned sales there. I was chasing very sexy type of companies, and I wanted to be a startup founder. And I got into SaaS and different types of things. I raised quite a bit of money, and ultimately I failed. I lost other people's money. after I had went through that, it didn't feel so good, but I had learned a lot. And then something hit me. I had got a job somewhere and I got very lucky. I was head of sales for a tech company that did get acquired in New York City. And after that, I had bounced around to a couple other jobs and I started to think to myself, I really want to make a run at entrepreneurship again. And so what I did was, is instead of chasing the sexy type of business, I thought to myself, what can I offer people that the masses need and use all the time? Something very simple that I could start with very little to no money that wouldn't be a bunch of risk in case it didn't make it. And I landed on house cleaning. I realized that the thought of cleaning toilets and taking out the trash was something that a lot of people didn't want to do and therefore shied away from that opportunity. But then I realized very quickly that I didn't have to ever clean any toilets or take out the trash. In fact, I've never cleaned a house in my life, not even my own house. And now I have the fastest growing cleaning company in America.
What a cool story. And the whole reason behind our episode today is you're going to teach us the fastest way for anyone to become a millionaire. And I love that you mentioned that it is the local service style business in a typical area that nobody wants to deal with, like taking out the trash, cleaning a house. It's an incredible way to make millions of dollars, to build an incredible business, provide a ton of value, serve a lot of employees, and serve a lot of people. So what led to the starting of Happy Home Helpers? And now you said the fastest growing home cleaning business in America.
So I was simply just researching online the best business to start. Every blog I would read, house cleaning was number one or number two because there's no barrier to entry. You need very little to no money. You could probably start it with $1,000 or less. And like I said, a lot of people were shying away from the opportunity. And something that I noticed is that all my competitors, or maybe not all of them, but most of them were typically very hardworking people and a lot of the time immigrants and amazing solid people that sometimes had language barriers, couldn't speak English that well. The service part of the work, they were amazing at. Like I said, very amazing people, very hardworking, but not skilled in digital marketing. They didn't understand how to build a Google profile online. They didn't understand how to acquire customers online. They didn't understand how to set up and run ad campaigns and things of this nature. They were just people that were building small businesses by word of mouth. And the other side of it is they didn't understand how to hire people at scale. So when I came in, I just simply applied everything I had learned in sales and marketing. And I realized quickly that I had this massive advantage over most of my competitors. And because of that, I was able to scale. And the incredible thing about the house cleaning business is that it's recurring revenue. When you clean a house in a week or two, depending on how many people live there, if they have pets, kids, etc., the house typically gets dirty again. Dust comes back. So if you get a client, we retain 7 out of 10 people. So once we clean for them in a week or two, we're typically back to clean for them again. So the cost to acquire that customer becomes a sunk cost. And then it's just a lot of revenue after that that just keeps coming in. And if you think about the math, the average customer pays about $186 for a clean. So if you're doing a couple cleans for them a month, that's almost $400, you know, $360 to $70 a month just from one customer. If you have 20 customers, you're already at $6,000 or $7,000 a month in recurring revenue. And one of the things that's amazing about this business, I found a gold mine. I'm going to let everybody in on this little secret. The best way to make money on Airbnb is not renting or owning a property. It's cleaning Airbnbs. And I'll tell you, they're the easiest to clean because nobody lives there. There's no clutter. The guests come in and out. We clean them in a couple hours. My cost to pay my cleaners is probably $60 to $80, but we take in $200 or more. So the margin is super high. And we do these Airbnb cleans probably 2 to 3 times a week, as opposed to our best, what I call primary residence clients that live in their homes, which we do maybe 1 to 2 times a month. The frequency is much higher, the revenue is much higher, and they're much easier to do. You can get in and out real fast.
That is genius. The best way to make money off an Airbnb is not to own one, but to clean them.
Yep, exactly. You have no risk. You don't have to take liability on the property. You just come in and clean. And kind of like I mentioned when we started, the funny thing is that I've got about 50 to 60 cleaners on staff. I've never cleaned a house myself. When people think about a house cleaning business, they think about actually mopping the floor or scrubbing the tile in the shower. But the beauty of the business is that you don't have to ever do any of the cleaning yourself. You hire people to do that. I put ads on Indeed. I get incredible response. I pay $20 an hour to the cleaners. So the business actually makes you feel good because you're providing a wage to people that's almost double the national average of the minimum wage. And you're providing a service to people that sometimes are elderly, disabled, injured, or they're just very busy people that don't have time to maintain a clean living environment. And it's very fulfilling.
That's so cool. There's so many win-win-wins involved there that you start losing count. Back to the point of the Airbnb part that piqued my interest. So you're based in Las Vegas. There's a lot of Airbnbs in Vegas, right? I imagine you went about marketing towards Airbnb owners. How did you crack that code? Or was it just one of those like John sitting on his couch one day and he's like, Airbnb owners, they need help cleaning?
I got a couple of calls from people that owned Airbnbs, and then I started to see the revenue that was coming in at such a high frequency, and the margin on it was higher because, like I said, my cleaners were saying that it was a much easier process to clean a house that nobody lives in rather than a house that people live in with their families, pets, etc. I had a hunch, so I created a landing page on our website that was just dedicated to Airbnb, and I invested a lot in the search engine optimization for that page, and what I realized is that none of my competitors were doing that. None of them had SEO that was really hyper-focused on the Airbnb cleaning. And so within a matter of about 60 to 75 days, I was ranking on the first page of Google for anything that was involving Airbnb cleaning, Airbnb management, all the long tail keywords I could think of that were maybe going to catch that type of traffic I was creating content for on this landing page and I was building backlinks for. And soon enough, I just started getting a landslide of leads just pouring in for Airbnb people. And now I've sort of become the Airbnb authority in the market. Even Airbnb owners that don't use our service to clean call me for advice. And the only reason why they don't use our service is because we're expensive. We charge a premium. And sometimes they can get your traditional, I'm only using this phrase because I think it's something that people can identify with, your traditional cleaning person or cleaning lady type of service. And that seems to be a solopreneur or somebody that maybe has a friend or two or a family member that they provide a service with. But the downside of that service from that type of service provider and where we really shine is that that person can get sick. That person might go on vacation. We're open every day of the year. We never get sick because we have 60 cleaners on staff. And we're always available for that last minute booking or checkout or holiday on New Year's, Christmas Day, where that solopreneur just isn't available. So for those types of people, we do get their business once in a while, but we're almost double the price. But I have enough business coming in where it just doesn't even matter, even if we're double the price, because we have such a competitive advantage.
That's incredible. You hold yourself out to be available on call, right? Like either day of or next day cleaning. Do you have staff members who are just always kind of waiting for the 911 cleaning call, or how does that work for you?
That's a great question. And I want to preface that question with, when you're in the commodity business, cleaning, lawn mowing, whatever it is, it's very important to immediately differentiate yourself. And in a commodity business, that's the toughest thing to do. And what most business owners make the mistake of is that they try to be the best XYZ. They try to be the best cleaning service, the best lawn mowing service. But what I recognize is instead of trying to be the best, trying to be the only is the way that you really, really stand out in a commodity service market. So we became the only cleaning company that was available for same-day service within a two-hour window. And the way that I was able to create this type of service logistically is that I put ads out on Indeed for the type of person that was, let's say, a busy mom and somebody that was looking for part-time work that was always usually home, but was available to make extra money when the call came. And so now I've got a pool of about 30 of these types of people. And when the same day call comes in, because it comes in often, we're the only service that advertises for this. So every day we get a bunch of calls for this because you can't get it anywhere else. We became the only service that provided same day. And because of that, we can just go through our little Rolodex of about these 30 people that are home all the time. And we can always catch, you know, 5 to 10 of them that are available that want to make that extra money on a whim.
Wow. Okay. So would these kind of be contractors for you that are available when needed? And out of your pool of 30, there's at least going to be, like you said, 5 or 10 who are like, yep, I'll take the gig. and you can deploy them right away.
That's correct. That's exactly how it works. And then we've got about 50 cleaners that are full-time employees, and then we've got about 25 to 30 part-time contractors, as you just alluded to, that are available to go. And some of our full-time people are available to go on a whim as well, because the schedule is a very volatile thing. We're at the whim of our customers' requests. So if they call to book right away, cancel, reschedule, some of our cleaners get a schedule in the morning and then it changes midday because somebody cancels or reschedules, but then we just reroute them to the person who's called in for same-day service. So it also helps to keep our staff busy all the time because they count on getting those hours.
Right. So I have so many questions. I know it could take this in a lot of different directions, but you said you're the fastest home cleaning service in America. How many cities are you in currently?
We're just in one city. We're just in Las Vegas. I've got offers from investors to franchise and scale nationwide. I believe that in order to be successful, you need a hyper-local operator. One of the things that I've managed to do in the last 6 months is hire a GM. And he's a guy that is a really hard-working, opportunity-seeking individual that works 6 days a week. And he's essentially running the business for me on the front end. So he does all the quality control. If somebody calls out or their car breaks down, he can actually go clean himself. He's a terrific cleaner. And so now I'm really only working the business about an hour a day, which is crazy. And on the back end of the business, which is the sales and customer service, I've actually found an incredible resource. I used a website called overpass.com. The way that the platform works is that they connect you with workers that are outside of the country that you can typically hire for a much lower wage. And all of these people are college educated. They have little to no accents. So because we utilize a voice over IP phone system, we can route these calls to anybody in the world. And the callers that call in from the local market have no idea where they're based. And so I've got a team of six people on the island of St. Lucia, which I actually never knew existed before I found them on Overpass.
My wife and I had our honeymoon on St. Lucia.
Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah, I heard it's a gorgeous island.
Oh, it's amazing.
My wife chokes around and says, there's something in the water there, because I could tell you, these girls that are in St. Lucia that answer the phones, they are incredibly talented. They're incredibly smart. They're highly educated, and they convert these calls at a very high rate. We're generating about $6,000 to $7,000 a day in revenue just cleaning houses. If you do the math, it's already a multi-million dollar business, and we've only been in business for 2 years.
Wow. These gals that are in St. Lucia, are they running sales or are they running customer service?
Both.
Even better.
The same way that an immigrant comes to the U.S. that's very hardworking, they value the opportunity to succeed in another country that will give them a better quality of life. The people in St. Lucia, I feel the same type of work ethic from. When they receive this type of opportunity, the level of hard work and the commitment to learning is so much more dedicated. And I think that's why the results are so much better.
That's so cool. And now you're supporting people across the Caribbean, right? Like in a totally different country, you're making a huge difference in their lives, providing them an incredible job to be able to make a difference at a company and for people who need their homes cleaned.
Exactly. And they keep recruiting more of their friends, which is great. I'll be honest, a very good wage on the island is about $7 an hour. And if they're telling all their friends about it and all their friends want to work at Happy Home Helpers, then $7 to $8 an hour seems to be a wage that makes people very happy. If you're looking at it from a pure cost-effective way of outsourcing, then I think it's a very good way to go, as opposed to getting somebody here in the States or even a virtual assistant through a platform like Upwork. I seem to be getting somebody who's a much higher quality and speaks native language at a lower rate.
All right. So like I said, you can probably tell I'm nerding out on this because I love an incredible entrepreneurship story, especially when it comes to local service businesses. So I'm fascinated by this. But for our listeners who are looking to start a business, you and I were talking about this before we hit record. It's so easy to get lost in the ideas of I can never make it unless I'm thinking of something new or some new idea that's never been done, or I got to start a software company. No, the riches are in local service if you do it right. What's your advice for going about and starting a business? Like, what did you need to start Happy Home Helpers? What was it, those basic things that you really needed to take this to market and get it off the ground?
Number one, everything you do in your business, from the onset of thinking about the business to actually implementing everything day one, has to center around the one thing that makes your business survive and thrive, and that's cash. Everything you do, every goal you have, you should back into it with how do I make and bring in more cash? I'll tell you one thing. Nobody ever went out of business because they had an expense problem. You only see failure because you have a revenue problem. Focus 98% of your energy on generating more revenue and 2% of your energy on how you can keep expenses down. Because you can only keep expenses down to a certain point. You can only get them so low. But revenue, you can infinitely grow. And that's where all your attention should be. So that's number one. You have to have that money mindset. Number two, never fear how many competitors are in the market. We live in a world of amazing abundance. If you provide an awesome service, you will have plenty of customers. There's a zillion homes and apartments in every city. 8 out of 10, 80% of people who have a roof over their heads use a house cleaner. 80%, that's in 2024. By 2025, it's expected to increase to 8.5, and it's a 40-some-odd billion-dollar industry. So don't be afraid of competition in a local market. There's always enough customers if you're good at what you do. Number three, differentiate yourself. Be the only of something. Don't try to be the best of something. And I'll tell you one way that we also differentiate ourselves. Speed. Speed is the most effective way to build trust and rapport and gain confidence in a prospect. When the phone rings, we have to answer by the second ring. When somebody messages us by chat or email, we have to reply within 1 minute. Nothing establishes rapport and trust better than quick, fast communication. Even when someone's upset, if there's a problem, handle it swiftly. Because I'll tell you what, even if something went wrong, your prospect or customer is going to look at the way that you handle it and how quickly and attentively you are to resolving and rectifying something. It's all about speed. That's the key. So then go into your market and analyze it. What are people using a lot? I'll tell you what, home organizing is a big one. Cleaning, landscaping, roofing, and maybe you have to have more expertise for some of these and you need a license for some of these. So I would stay away from the ones that, like, HVAC business can be awesome. People make a fortune in that business, but you need a contractor's license. I stay away from that. Home organizing, home cleaning, you can go online, you can find a ton of people that already know what they're doing on Indeed. You can pay them a really fair wage and they'll go in and do a fantastic job for you. So I would do that. And then if you understand digital marketing, you could also hire someone on Upwork or Fiverr to do a report and analyze the local market and see how hard it is to rank for some of these long tail keywords like number one maid service near me or things like that. And that'll give you an indication of how competitive the market is. But again, I would hold that very low on your decision-making totem pole, even if it looks and appears to be competitive. I'm in one of the most competitive markets in the world. It didn't stop me. It didn't hinder our growth process. In fact, I think it sort of lit a fire under my ass to even try harder.
Those are fantastic because I believe that those three things, the money mindset and the business thing surviving on cash, like, you're right. If you don't have cash, you don't have a business. That's pretty simple. But the big one that stuck out for me is the differentiating yourself, being the only in your business, and that speed is key. Because I can't tell you, just as a civilian or as a homeowner, I appreciate the companies that A, answer. Literally, like before our call here, I was on the phone with our HVAC company. We get a tune-up each spring and fall, and I was on hold for probably 4 or 5 minutes. I was like, I can get this. I'll knock this out, get it off the checklist before I get on the call with John. And before long, it was an 8 or 9 minute call. And we did get it booked. We got it taken care of. But it was just one of those things where it's like, if I could get someone right away, just say, hey, okay, March 6th, we're open. Let's go. Sign me up. Okay, I'll see you then. And be done with it. Because as a business owner, that's what I need to do. I need things done quickly. And that's what I try to do, like with my clients, is be done quickly. And everybody appreciates that. And you're right. Nothing can build trust quicker right off the rip from even a cold call to handling their problem with speed.
It's funny you mentioned.
Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Plus, Shopify Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MU, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MU to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MU.
More and more entrepreneurs and investors are discovering the awesome franchise opportunities that exist across a variety of industries. Franchising can simply be the better path, and interest in franchising is at an all-time high. Lucky for you, John Ostenson, founder of FranBridge Consulting and a past Millionaire University guest, is here to help you explore the premier franchise opportunities today. John and his FranBridge consulting team are part of the largest franchise brokerage in the U.S. and have vetted the market thoroughly. FranBridge is hands down the premier source for the best opportunities in the franchise world, including both active and passive opportunities. From tiny homes to youth soccer to industrial hoses to pets, senior care to mental health, and more. John has served as an Inc. 500 franchisor and is a multi-brand franchisee himself. And he does more placements than anyone else in the country. Sign up for a free consultation call with John today or get a free copy of his book, Non-Food Franchising, at FranBridgeConsulting.com. That's FranBridgeConsulting.com. Available in the U.S. and Canada.
That I would say half of my competitors don't even answer the phone. It's just voicemail. I couldn't even believe it. When I sort of secret shop and I call some of the competitors to find out how they answer the phone, what they do. So if you just answer the phone, you're already way ahead of your competition, which is unbelievable. And then you mentioned being on hold. We actually have a rule. We're not allowed to put people on hold. We just don't do that. And there's another rule that we have when somebody calls. We never say the N-word. We're not allowed to. We never say no. Never. When somebody asks a yes or no question, there's only one answer. Even if we don't do it, it's yes. I remember Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos, who sold to, I believe it was Amazon, for $100 million or more. I read his book and he told the story about how somebody called up and he was listening to a call recording for quality control. And somebody asked the Zappos rep for something. And the rep said, oh, you know, we don't do that. I'm really sorry. And the guy hung up and the call was over. Tony Hsieh looked at that as a missed opportunity, even though they couldn't help the person. And so he called a team meeting and he literally said, remember, this Zappos was a company that was selling shoes. He said, if somebody calls up and says, I want a pepperoni pizza, you say, hey, no problem. Where do you live? And then you Google the best pizza company in the area and you order a pizza for them. That's what you do. You don't say no. You do what the person wants. And Tilman Fertitta's book, he's the best restaurateur in the world. He talks about how if somebody orders eggs after breakfast and they're not on the menu anymore, you go in the back and you fry up a couple of eggs. You don't tell them, no, it's not on the menu. So whenever somebody calls, no matter what, we always just say yes. And it works incredibly well. It's a very easy rule to follow. It separates you from your competition. And this is probably the most valuable thing I can drop here on the podcast today. When people call, they think that they want a quote for cleaning service or whatever service you're providing. But that's not actually why they're calling. They're calling because they have a problem they're trying to solve. So instead of creating a call where you're spitting out quotes, I've changed it. What we do and what the team does in St. Lucia is we conduct a proper discovery call. We don't just give quotes. And the reason why we do that is because we're trying to uncover the problem or the pain point of why this person has called us. And so let me give you a really good example. If somebody calls because they need a move out clean, we ask them, are you renting this property or do you own it and you're trying to prep it to sell it? And so most of the time people are renting and they will say, yes, we're renting. Why do you ask that question? And then our response to that is, well, because if you need a move out clean, chances are you're calling because you want to get your security deposit back. Is that correct? And then all of a sudden they say yes. Now, the more times you can get someone to say yes from your series of questioning, the more likely they are to say yes when you ask them to take out their credit card to make payment. I call it the yes game. Okay? So now we have a whole script that's devised to get people to answer questions, which we know they're going to say yes to. And this series of questioning then continues to set us up as a company that is specializing in getting someone's security deposit back, even though we're going to give them the same move-out clean as the next company they can call to get a quote from. But when they call to get other quotes, nobody else is doing this. So even if the competitor's quote is $50 to $100 higher, they still think we're the best company because we're the ones that are going to get them their security deposit back, not just somebody who's going to come out and do a move-out clean.
You've completely shifted their mindset at that point.
Exactly. And that's why we're converting at such a high rate, is because we're taking them through a very strategic sales process on the discovery call. If I call any other cleaning company in this city and I ask them for a quote, they're going to ask me, what do I need a quote for? And they're going to give me a number, and then I'm going to hang up. And just like everyone else does, they're going to hang up and they're going to keep calling around until they get the lowest number. That's commodity. We don't do that.
So I come from a customer experience background. I work in marketing, but I was really born from customer experience. I love this because as a consumer, I almost always go with the company who does it differently, who differentiate themselves in some fashion that I can pick up on. I'm a little more attuned to it, but as a general, just human being, when you get better service or when you get asked questions by a company that is one of maybe many you're getting quotes from that you didn't see coming, but then they explain clearly to you, why do we need to know that? Well, you do want your security deposit back. Yeah, I do. Okay, well, making sure that you clean this thoroughly is the best way to get that back, right? Yes, okay. So now I am 100% more likely to go with this company because I can already tell that you're taking steps to differentiate yourselves and make that customer experience different. And I'm not even a customer yet.
Right. I think it's even more than that. It's taking steps to really understand deeply what the customer wants and needs, or let's call them the prospect at this point, right? Besides speed, a series of very intelligent questions does something else. It establishes expertise. It tells the prospect, without telling the prospect, that you know and understand the service you're providing and why you're going to provide it for them. And that's much different than just giving a quote. All you have to do is ask the right questions, listen to what they need and want, and then provide or offer up that solution to them. And if you don't have that solution, tell them you don't have it and try to point them in the right direction where they can get it. That's it. Don't try to sell them something they don't need. So I moved into a new house a few years ago. I'll never forget this. I went to Best Buy to get a TV. When I walked into the store, a salesperson approached me and the salesperson said, hey, what can I help you with today? And I said, oh, I'm looking for a TV. And the salesperson said, great, let me take you over to the TV section. They said, what size TV are you looking for? And I said, well, I don't really know. And the guy said, well, let me show you 70-inch TVs and you tell me if that looks too big or too small and I can show you different models and you can pick the one you think has the best picture. I said, all right. And we started looking around and there's 100 freaking TVs in the store. I'm looking at all the pictures. They all look pretty good. I get a little overwhelmed. My phone starts ringing. It's my wife on the phone. So I say, you know what? I got to go. I couldn't really make a decision. I leave the store. A couple weeks go by and I'm thinking to myself, I'm moving in a week. I got to get a TV. I go back to the same store 2 weeks later. And this time I have a much different experience. A woman walks up to me. She was freaking brilliant. And she said, what can I help you with? I said, I'm trying to find a TV. And she said, great. What room are you placing the TV in? I said, it's for the living room. And she said, okay, how far back are you sitting from the TV? I said, about 14 to 15 feet. She said, okay, great. What type of programming do you like to watch? Do you watch movies? Are you sports guys? I love sports. She said, okay, great. One more question. Do you have a wood floor, a tile floor, a carpet? And I was like, why the hell do you need to know what kind of flooring I have? And she said, well, if you have a hard floor, I need to recommend a TV that has a really great internal speaker or get you a soundbar or speakers because the acoustics are going to echo. But if you have carpet, it's going to dampen the sound and the internal speaker in the TV will be just fine. And I'm like, this person really knows what they're doing. I'm in the same store. They have the same TVs, but this is a totally different experience. We walk in the back. She says, all right, you're 14 to 15 feet back. You have carpet. You love to watch sports. That means you need a faster refresh rate because when they throw the ball, it's going to pixelate if you have the slower refresh rate. So these are the only two TVs in the store I'd recommend to you. Let me turn them both on. You tell me which one you like better. And that's the TV that you should pick. It took 5 minutes. I spent $3,000 on the TV and I walked out and I felt great about the TV I bought. I had no buyer's remorse and I had a terrific experience. Why? She asked the right question. She did a proper discovery. And then she just offered up the solution based on my wants and needs. I didn't feel like she was pushy. I didn't feel like she tried to sell me anything. And you know what? I love the TV. She was awesome.
A confused buyer is not a buyer. So if you guide them, you discover, and then you provide them with a few options, preferably two or three max, you have now put the blinders on this person, and they should be rest assured that I don't need to look at the other 80 TVs on these racks because according to this discovery that we just found out together, I don't need those. I need one of these two TVs. That's perfect. And it's all the difference in the world, right? And she got the sale.
She did. And I felt like she did it instinctively. I felt like she wasn't trained to do that. I felt she just had a very deep understanding and expertise of viewing experience. And then she just asked the questions based on how she thought she could get me the best viewing experience because I was there to buy a TV. Very simple, right? So when somebody calls up a house cleaning business, you can do the same exact process, uncover the actual pain point and wants and needs of the customer so you can recommend a certain type of cleaning that will satisfy those needs just like the type of TV you might want at Best Buy.
Right. It's genius. And I think that's a good lesson mixed in there for sales in general, even if you're doing a business outside of a cleaning type of business, is the fact that sales conversations can be intimidating. They can be scary. But if you just approach it as this is a conversation, I started telling myself that in my agency years ago, I was like, sales conversations scare me, but conversations where I'm just trying to find out if I can help this person, that's way different. That's a completely different mindset shift and gets yourself out of your own way when it comes to selling your product or service. It opens the door. It's like a floodgate. But you have to go that extra few steps to create a good discovery call. Find out what you need to find out and guide them.
Sales conversations can be scary to people. And I think the best way to mitigate that feeling of anxiety for prospects is to sit down with them or talk to them over the phone like a very close friend or family member is calling and asking for advice. Because when your friends ask you for something or somebody you care about asks you for something, you don't consider what's best for you. You only think about and consider what's best for them. Sales should be that way. You should express the ultimate love for your prospect and deeply care about their wants and needs. And then that will automatically take down the defense mechanisms and eliminate any anxiety they might have of feeling like they're in a sales conversation.
Right. And you will instantly differentiate yourself from 99.9% of your competition because the average service business, in my opinion, is completely commoditized, and you can absolutely tell that there is not as much genuine care or concern for the processes and systems that are in place. And you can blow those out of the water by making a few positive changes.
That's it. The fastest way to ensure success and become a millionaire in a relatively short period of time, I'm talking 4 or 5 years or less, is to start a local service business, provide something that the masses need, where your competitors sometimes don't even answer the phone, it goes to voicemail, that you can get into without providing the service hands-on even yourself. You can easily find local service providers. You can pay them a very fair wage, make them very happy, and you can create a nice, fulfilling business for yourself. I'm in my home office right now, and I've never once worked in an office. And to be honest, when I first started the business, 3 months in, I had to get emergency surgery to remove my colon. And I was in the hospital for 2.5 weeks. And I was afraid that the business would go under or it would suffer. And it continued to scale. And I was just had my laptop and my phone from a hospital bed for 2.5 weeks and was still able to do $50,000 in revenue that month.
What an awesome story. I mean, that just goes to show that you can start something common, do it uncommonly well, make a butt ton of money, make a lot of people happy, serve a ton of people, make them happy, solve their problems, and live the life that you dreamt about living. It sure sounds like you're living the dream, especially when, you know, God forbid an emergency happens and you can still make money while they're removing your colon. It's incredible.
Yeah, you just nailed it. The home service business will allow you to work from anywhere and everywhere as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. And it will allow you to open up the possibility of living the life of your dreams and being able to travel and have more free time with your family and not punching that clock or being in an office environment that's not as comfortable as your home.
Yeah. This morning, I made a post on LinkedIn about how yesterday I was able to take an hour and a half out of my day to go to the driving range with my dad. It was 72 degrees out. We don't get that very often in Ohio in February. I was just like, this is perfect. I'm going to go enjoy the sun. I'm going to spend some time with my dad, and I'm going to knock the winter rust off my swing, right? But it's because you design your business to serve you and not that you serve your business. And a local home service company is a fantastic way to do it. And even if you've never provided that service, and I can relate, John, my wife yells at me all the time when I should be cleaning the house and I don't. And I've had a horrible experience with a cleaning service that my wife hired, which was certainly nowhere near what you guys provide. So I for sure see the value in it. Well, John, I know I want to respect your time here. How can we find you? I know we didn't even really get a chance to talk too much about Rags to Riches, your course, but I want to make sure our listeners can reach out to you or find you online.
Yeah, if you just go to ragstorichesu.com, you can go to johnmargolit.com. It's J-O-N without the H. We'll put a link here, but it's rags, T-O-2, riches, the letter U for university.com. And then you can also go to the Rags to Riches University YouTube channel if you want more nuggets and knowledge. And if you want to take the course, we're offering it now at a discount for only $297. And it comes with all the assets that I mentioned, the scripts, how to take people's credit card over the phone, all these types of things that can make revenue and income come in really fast and get you to making $1 million. And I'm not talking about gross. I'm talking about netting $1 million within 4 years or less.
Awesome. I love it, John. Well, this was super exciting for me. You know, I nerd out on this stuff. Man, what value you're able to drop with us here. And folks listening out there, don't be afraid of starting a local service business there. As John has proven, there is a lot of riches coming from that niche. So John, thank you again. Really appreciate you joining us. I feel like there's so much more we could talk about. Heck, maybe we'll have to have you come back for another round, but this has been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Brian.
My pleasure. All right. I don't know about you, but those were some serious knowledge bombs that John brought to the table in opening our eyes and showing us that a business as simple as cleaning houses, cleaning Airbnbs, cleaning properties for people and businesses is an incredibly lucrative business and one that does not have a massive barrier to entry. You don't have to start a software company. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have some earth-shattering idea in order to become a business owner. You simply don't. And John is living proof of that. And within 2 years, making it a seven-figure business with $400,000 in profit. The dude's just absolutely crushing it. And man, I hope you can take some of this to heart. And maybe this inspires you to open a local service business, get your hands a little bit dirty. Or even in the case of John, he didn't even have to go cleaning. He just hired the right people to do it. And he runs a stellar business to get the job done. So folks, thank you all for joining us for another awesome episode of the Millionaire University Podcast. As always, if you're out on LinkedIn, give us a shout at Millionaire University. We want to hear from you. We want to grow our following on LinkedIn to reach more people. And if you're feeling generous, if you wouldn't mind throwing a little five-star review our way in Apple Podcasts, maybe Spotify, wherever you take your podcast in, whatever broadcast channel you use, we'd really appreciate a review if you love what we're doing. And don't be afraid to reach out to us. Hit us up, support at Millionaire University. We want to hear from you. If there's something that you want to learn, questions you have about starting and growing your business, we are here to help. We believe that you have the skills, the knowledge, and the ability to get it done, and we want to help you along the way. So we'll see you on the next episode of the Millionaire University Podcast. Thanks for joining us.